Good afternoon, and you are now punched in on your lunch break with your boy Ray Nitty.
And maybe Shannon, we are here live, baby.
On the Truth 101.7 FM, located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee in the 3rd Street Market Hall, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. How you feeling, Shannon?
Man, I'm feeling something. You know? That's what I'm feeling. I got all the feelings right now, but, you know.
She feeling what she feeling right now.
I'm feeling what I'm feeling, right?
Shouts out to the chat. Shouts out to the chat. If you need to call in, the number is 833-212-1017. Once again, the number is 833-212-1017.
Yes, yes. Man, Ray.
Man.
We here by ourselves today.
We here alone today on our lunch break. What we got for a snack?
Or a snack. Oh, we got a snack. All right. First of all, let's start off. Look, I'm starting off hot. How was your night last night? Let's start off
slow. So last night after the lunch break, you know, I stepped outside for a little evening snack.
That brother was hungry.
That brother's starving. You know, I stepped out for a little evening snack. And, you know, we've been coining evening snack when we go outside of
our
lunch.
Side quest.
You know, we do a little side quest outside of lunch and see, you know, get little bites to eat of what's going on in the city. And we stopped at Walmart. We went to Walmart for a little evening snack, and boy, was it tasty.
Was it?
Was it tasty?
I'm excited to hear about this, because you know I grew up on 51st my whole life. So okay. 7th District
so
is...
So you've seen the change in the
area.
We've
seen the change.
You've been through. So tell me, like, your experience growing up in that area. And this will probably give people a little bit more about you as well. So
no,
look at
for
that.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, so 51st, y'all know that busy street. People keep running in the trees and in houses over there or into that church. Yeah, right over there. So, I grew up there, literally born and raised. Like, we moved there, like, the second week I was born. And, like, my mom just moved maybe a year ago. I don't even think it was a year ago. And, like, I can tell you from her perspective, like, she felt like when they moved there, they were one of the first black homeowners. And there's a few that still live there that we still know because they're homeowners. It was a community, right? But she described it as, like, white flight. Like, people saw people moving in and owning homes, and they start moving up in numbers. And I guess as that change started to happen, you also have people that are just renting out properties and not really doing background checks. Or people that are renting out these properties, and they're not even in town. So they don't care what's going on. So now you're living next to people that just don't care. And I think I wanted to bring up that point, too, because I know our guy Zach sent over a Facebook video. And that was a point I wanted to make, too. I got some complaints today, I guess. I got some things to say.
You feel me?
Look, it's been a long week, Ray.
let's let it out.
But, yeah, like, you just slowly see the change in people. Like, it's just honestly sad to see because you can kind of tell who the homeowners are on these blocks, right? And you can tell, like, who actually takes pride in what they have and who actually cares about the environment they're in. But, like I said, as I grew up, I went to Tech. People were like, "Oh, you live in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah,
you live in the suburbs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Northwest was a little different from being on the North Side. Now, I didn't watch this one lady on our corner, man. Like, she has a corner house, and like she had like you know, you put the little flowers on the like sidewalk area.
Put it around
area.
The tree.
Yeah, make it look all nice around the tree. They didn't
beautification.
Ran into the tree, knocked the tree down. Watched her try to fix that up a little bit. The next week, they then ran past that into her gate, knocked her gate down. Watched that the next day. They in the car in her yard. I'm like, goodness gracious. Like, this woman can't win. Now it's just, like, nothing in front of her yard. And it's, like, sad to watch those transitions happen and just watch what's happening over there. But I do feel like there's still hope, and I do think that there's still, redemption? That can be done. It's a beautiful area. It's really like, and growing up, that was like that area where everything was. Walmart was there, like Burger King used to be there.
Capitol Court Mall.
All that stuff. Like,
that was right before
you
I moved over here, I think.
Everything you needed was over there. So it was just like a really, like, it was one of those areas, a desirable area, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they do with it, and I'm happy that they're having talks of doing something with it. But I'm gonna let you take that.
So I got another quick question for you. Like, what Does your parents still, do they still live in that area, or did they since move from
over? No, okay. They live closer to Lover's Lane now.
Okay.
So it's still north side, but it's up in numbers. I feel like the further up you go, it starts getting a little slower. You know what I mean? And I do like that area for them now, just because, like I said, over the years, like, I've watched it change too. Like, I look out my back window and I could see somebody running through the yard from the police. Like, hey,
yeah,
you don't belong here, buddy. What are you doing? Even with the trash conversation.
Yeah, we go, should we talk about the trash right now?
Bro.
Do we got time? The trash is like a segment on it. We definitely going to talk about the trash situation as well.
I get on my soapbox about that trash.
Because, so you was there when my generation was probably bringing traffic to the Capitol Court.
And what's
mall.
Funny is, like, I'm the youngest of four, so like I've seen like all the young, like teenage generations
so
too. You know,
you got some siblings that was probably out there with me.
Yep, right.
First of all, I would like to apologize to all the folks that was just trying to get some peaceful sleep or just get home to their desirable places of residency.
He said, this would be a nice place to bring some traffic. Hey.
You know, so, you know, we were young and just seeking something fun to do. But I feel like we had respectable traffic. As loud as it was.
I would say so.
I would say it was still somewhat
respectable. Because as I came of older age, getting into high school, like, I started indulging in traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sound like
cruising.
We started cruising.
That's what they called it before we, you know.
Cruising in traffic. But I feel like with traffic in our era, your era, my era, we owned those cars. Like, people went to work and bought a car.
I was in my mama's.
I was just going to say, or they borrowed. Like, I had, like, friends that would borrow their parents' cars. You know what I'm saying?
This traffic, they just stealing cars.
Yeah, like, it's like, this ain't even traffic. This Grand Theft Auto. What are we doing? Yeah. And it was some type of, like, I feel like even for us to be young, like, we had some type of method to the madness, right? Like,
we had
you
some
knew where
respect
to meet.
Still, too.
Yeah.
I think we had a level of respect, although some would say,
like, we didn't want to get in trouble, but we wanted to have fun.
We weren't just being extremely disrespectful, in my opinion, to, you know, elderly or adults or whatever that looks like.
Causing so much commotion that the police have no choice but
absolutely.
To get involved.
Now,
right?
Was it fights? I do remember seeing some fights. And anybody that was a part of KOB, you know, the knockout boys, they was pulling people out there.
Yo.
So that was the extent. That was the extent of, I felt like, was the most negative things that I saw, the fighting. Now, I can't remember no traffic days where I saw somebody get shot or anything. Have people shot in the air? Absolutely. But I think it would be like one shot in the air, and it's just young person to trying to scatter the crowd.
Right, or trying to show out.
Not making an excuse for that type of behavior back then.
But I also don't remember us being on, like, people's grass, bro. Like, not on nobody's lawns. Like, and like I said, it wasn't to the point where we wanted to bring that negative attention to us. We just wanted to have fun. Like, we wanted to find an empty parking lot. Because I even remember when I was super young, what's that alderman name? Him and his daddy went to jail, I think.
McGee.
McGee. Alderman McGee.
I don't know if it was him and his daddy. I know I...
let me stop.
I think it might have just
somebody
been
got locked up. But anywho, when I was,
they
I
wore
remember,
the wire on him.
I was a kid. Like, I remember being a kid, and he came to our school, and he was talking about traffic, and he was talking, and, like, you know, when you in fifth grade, you think that shit, you think that stuff is cool, but
don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. But no, you think that stuff is cool, and I think, like, from a child's perspective, I was like, man, I can't wait to get a car. I can drive around. And, like,
and be outside.
Yeah, be outside. And I remember him coming to our school and talking about, like, trying to find a designated area for kids to kind of do that. And I kind of thought that was a cool idea.
And I think Walmart, that parking lot was so good for a designated area for traffic.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like it's just taking on a different... like, I don't even know if they do traffic anymore. Like, it's just, like, individual people doing things like stealing cars and going on high speed chases and like.
And then they do the street takeovers. Yeah. I know that. But I think that's like something different. That's a whole different culture, if I'm not mistaken. They doing a lot of the drifting.
Yeah.
A lot of those car stunts and so forth. I think that's an evolved form of traffic, if I'm not mistaken.
So that is more so leaning toward what traffic was. But yeah.
So before we go to this break and get into the old traffic site, where now is supposed to be a research center, data research center, not a data center, I guess, or a data center, however. You say data, I say data, potato, patata, you know, whatever the case may be. But just wanted to read some headlines. I'm sure the morning show talked about it, and I'm sure Sherwin extensively went into it. And I sent Zach some photos and stuff we'll play a little later and some videos as well, but I just wanted to read some stuff if some new listeners that are here could get a idea of what went on. So city leaders say the project is not a data center and would bring affordable housing, a library, city offices, and a small data processing facility to the site. And proposed redevelopment of the abandoned Walmart at Midtown Center says it would bring affordable housing, a library, city offices, and a data processing facility to the site. City leaders and a developer faced a skeptical crowd at a community information meeting about a proposed redevelopment of the long vacant Walmart Midtown Center, with some residents unconvinced that the project does not include a data center. AFS Milwaukee LLC, which owns the property, wants to redevelop the empty building. I actually spoke with Todd as well and got his input about the data center and was able to ask some questions about, you know, the energy consumption that will be or data processing research facility, I guess, the energy consumption, the water usage and so forth. And we'll get into that a little later as well. But to continue, if approved, the project would include 200 affordable housing units, a new Milwaukee Public Library branch, City of Milwaukee offices, and a data processing facility. You see the Caribbean Manamo Slido? That's what happens sometimes when I read. The accent just want to come on by itself. But to continue, District 2 Alderman Mark Chambers Jr. pushed back on characterizations of the project at the meeting. This isn't misleading no one. The reason we are having these events and two other ones in addition, we'll share those dates as well, is to tell people what it is and what it is not, Chambers said. Chambers said that the data center is not part of the proposal. Absolutely not right now. It is being proposed as a computing research facility, which is what Todd said to me, Chambers said. He added that the facility would not require significant energy. There's no need to upgrade grids. There's no need for fresh water intake or anything of that nature. Absolutely not, Mark Chambers said. So that was from, what is this, TMJ4. If you would like to check that article out and read the full article. But don't go anywhere. We will be back right now. We are going to take a little break, pay some bills. If you want to call in, the number is 833-212-1017 as we continue our conversation about the proposed center at the Midtown Walmart. You are live at the lunch break.
Yes.
On the Truth 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere.
What's up? You guys are back on the lunch break at 101.7 The Truth with Ray Nitti and Maybe Shannon. And I got some information to share with you guys. Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration is back, and 101.7 The Truth will be here all day long. Thank you to our Juneteenth partners, Educators Credit Union, Molson Coors, Tobacco Law, American Family Insurance, and Milwaukee College Prep for helping us celebrate freedom, heritage, education, and community. Join us on King Drive for one of Milwaukee's most cherished traditions, brought to you by our sponsors and 101.7 The Truth. All right, let's get back into this conversation. Ray was telling us a little bit about our data center, aka new housing, aka library, aka shopping center, aka traffic mall. Like, tell us more about this.
So, from what I was able to gather before, first of all, it was chaotic. It was just extreme chaos down there, in my opinion. I think.
So what was the setup like? Like, I'm getting into like the behind the scenes stuff, because it's like sometimes like when you're able to, I guess what I'm looking for is when you're able to like set the crowd a certain way, mm-hmm. things seem to feel less chaotic, right? Like, if there's like, I know before you went, I was like, hopefully they have like snacks, maybe they have somewhere for people to sit.
Yeah, we were talking about all tables. Neither of those things were in place.
All right. Because but seriously, like, it sounds crazy, but that stuff sets the tone.
Absolutely. It sets the tone.
You know what I mean? Like, people are sitting down, they're talking to each other, they're not there like it's a protest or something. They're there sitting down. Like, if there's a little, you know, a little stand for him to talk behind, y'all.
Absolutely.
It gives people, it helps you.
So, just to put everybody that wasn't there or that hasn't saw any of the video clips or anything, we also do have some video we'll get into later. But, so first of all, when you drove up, I was on the phone with you at the time, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, is this happening? Because I can't tell. It was still boarded up.
Where is everybody? Right. Oh, my God.
It was still literally, when you pulled up to what the address was, it was still boarded up. So folks was either parked in front or just continuously circling the block like I did.
So if you came and you were looking to get information, and if you have, honestly, like, if I saw something like that, I'd just leave.
Correct. So, and I almost did leave.
Yeah.
I almost did leave, but I was like, you know what? Let me call Mark and, figure out what's going on with this. Yeah. And salute to Mark for answering his phone in that moment,
Mark.
Because I'm like, yeah, I know you got a day ahead of you.
Man, yeah.
But, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, we're trying to get the front door unlocked and unboarded. So they wasn't able to get that onboarded, so people had to go to enter through the back. And then you go through the back, and then you enter in this big empty facility. And it was stationed out in you know, they had where the library would be, where some other offices would be, and things of that nature. And from talking to Todd, the guy who owns, I think his name is Todd, if I'm incorrect, somebody please call in and but, you know, in talking to him, he was like, yo, this is where all of these different amenities and resources and so forth would be. And I don't even know if this is something I should share, but I'm going to share it anyway.
Well, thank you.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, truth.
And we love that about you. But, keep it real with the dogs no matter what.
You know, so, there was also mentions of a voting facility being in a voting center being in there as well. Because if people remember when something was sold in Midtown, I don't know if it was the Walmart or whatever, but something was sold where there Midtown was no longer a polling location. So they're trying to bring that back, and then that would be a polling location in there as well.
I mean, that would be nice. Did you see where we had to vote last time?
Absolutely.
That
across the street from where
that,
the original polling location
old
used to be.
Old bank or something like that?
It was something like that. I think
nasty
it was an old
word.
Town back.
Nasty word.
Nasty word.
I've been there 30 years and didn't even know that was open.
And it was confusing to people because they were still looking for
because for 30 years, we've been voting over there.
Across the street. So hence why they did that event that day in the parking lot, nonpartisan event,
right,
where artists
just
to tell people, hey, you know, the voting polling location is across the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, shouts out to that event. But you see all of these different areas, and then there's no podium, but you do see different renderings of, I didn't send, I was supposed to send Zach the pictures of the renderings. I don't think I sent that over. But you see renderings of what the library could potentially look like. You saw renderings of what the residential could possibly look like. And you saw renderings of what the research center would possibly look like. No seating. There was no seating anywhere. I do think that was a miss, and Chambers did say, you know, that was on my fault. Like, that was something I missed. They intended to before, and, you know, they just wanted this one to be like, yo, come in and hear what's going on. And it was kind of like a flow through type situation. So there was stations where people could go hear about the different things.
Okay. Kind of like an open house where they wanted people to just stop in and look around.
And I think that's what it was worded as, an open house.
I guess maybe he didn't. Did they not prepare for people to want to talk about it? You know what I mean? Like, did he think people were just going to be floating around and just like...
I'm going to assume that's probably... And this is an assumption. I can't speak for him or what their strategy was. Okay. But I'm going to assume that they wanted people to go in and at their leisure flow through the station, see what it was, talk to some people that had some insight on it.
Okay.
And I thought that there was going to be like a welcoming introduction and things like that. It was no microphones, no podiums, no things like that. So, and I do think when you don't have chairs for the elderly, you already kind of like create an environment where people are like, oh, man, what's going on?
Front door wasn't open either.
Then the front door wasn't
sneaking
open.
Sneaking through the window.
Straight up. That's what it felt like. But, you know, being able to now finally get in, seeing everybody. It was maybe 100-plus people there, I'll say, right?
That's a good turnout.
It was a great turnout. It was a great turnout. We'll talk on the turnout in the next segment, too. It was like, because I wonder... Mm-hmm. How many, and I'm not saying they don't care, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they don't care, but how many of those people were actually from that community?
7th District, where they've seen, like, the growth.
Correct,
the
right?
And what is there?
Yeah. And, you know, somebody reminded me, they're like, hey, well, you know, this district is a little different from the north side. Melody reminded me that this district is a little bit different from the north side, so... They have more of a diverse population over there. You might see white people. You might see black people. You might see brown people. So I don't know if that's what you remember seeing when you grew up.
Yeah, what
I seen you do the...
So I feel like it is a little bit different because it's one of those places where Park Lawn is literally like two blocks from my house on where we lived on 51st.
Yeah.
But 51st was always like a good neighborhood, like I mentioned. And then behind is a little rough, and then in front it get a little rough, then it get better. Then like it's just like a back and forth thing. So I will say it's a little more diverse, but in the most recent years, I don't know how diverse it is. You know what I mean? Like there's that area when you go by Midtown right before you get to, is that Marshall High School over there?
Yeah, yeah, what was that?
Marshall,
Hope.
Yeah, gets a little quiet, homeownership, you know what I mean?
There.
Like, so it's a little more diverse for sure, but I still think...
Agitators.
Yeah, agitators could find their way in there and just like, you're not here for the information, you're probably here to stir up some stuff. I wasn't there, I'm gonna let you take the lead on what actually went down in there though.
So... Absolutely, right? So there's this open floor now. There's reporters coming in. There's the guy from Gorman sharing his thought, because Gorman is developing the residential aspect of it. They're doing, I want to say it was 200 residential units, affordable housing units. And, you know, you had all of these people here coming to get this information and really wanting to know. But then there was a sector of people that I viewed. I could be 100% wrong. But for me, it didn't seem like they were there to even receive any information.
Yeah, they're
but
just there
just
to push back.
Push back, which is fine.
Yeah.
Completely fine.
But also
right?
give the people there an opportunity to hear, right?
Like, absolutely.
I can't hear if everybody's shouting. I'm here for information because I don't know anything. And
absolutely.
Y'all just...
And everybody wants their individual soapbox to say why this is and that's fine.
Yeah.
But we are in our protests. we are doing residents that reside in the area a disservice by drowning them out. They already don't got nowhere to sit.
Right.
You know what
they
I mean?
They already just want to know what's going on.
So prolonging the process by being disruptive, being like just yelling over when information is trying to be delivered, I feel like we were doing, well, the protesters or agitators, whatever we want to call them, who I believe has the right to push back.
Right, right.
But is I think we were doing a huge disservice for the people that live there by not allowing them to truly receive the information. Don't go anywhere. You are live on the lunch break on the Truth 101.7 FM with Ray, Nitty, and Shannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere.
You asked.
What's up? What's up? We are back at 101.7 The Truth with Ray, Nitty, and maybe Shannon. And this is the lunch break, all right? If you guys want to call, text, or even join the chat, go ahead and join us on YouTube. That's 101.7 The Truth. And then our phone number is 833-212-1017. You can text that line or you can call in. Right now, we are talking about the Midtown Shopping Center, Walmart specifically, being changed into a data center or a library or a low-income housing.
Yeah, some affordable housing.
We're talking about that, but we're also going to get into some other things because I also had a question. I know earlier in the show we talked about the trash on the north side, and that kind of goes into, like, mm-hmm. what my next question was for you, Ray, because Ray was live on site. All right.
Yeah,
he got the background noise. All right. Yeah, he got all of it.
A little evening snack I went and took at the research center. Yeah, that brother's starving.
So one of my things.
Brother's starving.
Yeah. That's what we're
hungry for knowledge.
But yeah, like, I think when we talk about low income, I think when homeowners hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak from the perspective of somebody that once owned property in Milwaukee. And, you know, my mom was a homeowner, like mm-hmm. I said, and we saw the trash, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I said earlier, like, man, these mm-hmm. people are trifling. Is that a cuss word? Look, I already owe y'all some money.
You can say trifling.
I can say trifling. They
he said, I already
trifling.
Owe y'all some money.
Trifling.
I mean, actually, it is a cuss word.
Oh.
That would be another 500.
Look, listen.
Oh, my God.
Just forward my check to Zach. I don't know. But yeah, like, man, it's just frustrating because, like, when you think low income, and I hate to think like that, like, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, the homeowners were the ones early in the morning getting up. Like, my mom's elderly now. Not elderly. She'd be mad at me for saying older now. Yeah. They up in the age, and the other homeowners are too. And I would see them early in the morning picking up trash. And then by like 3 p.m., I see somebody pull to the side on 51st and just dump out their whole car full of trash. Like, oh, let me clean up my car. Like, yeah. bro.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Man. And
it's just mentality.
It's mentality. But then, like, I also saw, like, our neighbors who were renting, like, in that next, like, the house right next to us was always, like, I kid you not, I don't know if, listen. I don't know these people's business. I don't know if it's low income, but I swear to you, it was like a one-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like something from the South, all right? Like, mm-hmm. and every time people moved into that house, bro, like, it was somebody that was so undesirable. Like, not even to be like that. Like, they got about 20 people, and I'm like, how do y'all live in there?
Yeah, see, we got to start being honest with our community, too, because the truth is, like, that mentality is cheap.
It's no, super, that's
I'm
cheap.
I'm sorry,
that's bro.
I don't know.
You broke,
bro. If you literally, like,
bro.
So,
bro.
Here's the thing, right?
Them people had like 20 dogs in the backyard. This is a one bedroom home. What are you doing?
I think it's a lack of pride. As a community, I don't think, and I say this respectfully. Mm-hmm. We have enough pride in what we have. You look at other cultures, and I know people are like, don't compare us to other cultures. Well, stop acting like
man,
we don't got
if we
going
to compare to another culture and what we've seen with this trash, y'all are being compared to trailer trash. You get what I'm saying? Like,
It's terrible. It's unhealthy. And it's just like when you look around and you see trash and filth, how do you feel? You know what I mean? So why would we not want to to clean up our city. And I think if we start, if it really just start with everybody taking care of their own front door first, their own front door. Like, it is so ignorant to me for somebody to throw a whole bag. I've put my life in danger for, like, somebody threw a bag out of the window. Uh-huh. And I was so fed up.
Where was this, at your house?
No.
Just out and about?
That doesn't happen. I was just at the light. It was on Fond du Lac.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody threw a bag out the window. And, you know, I got out my car. And I picked it up. And I was like, hey, man, take this bag. They pulled the weapon out. And I'm like, well, I ain't.
How you mad because you trifling? Pick this up. Like, what are you doing?
Can't die for no trash.
Let me take that. Let me take that from a young buck.
Don't worry about it. I'll do it. I'll find the garbage.
I know there's a trash nearby. Don't you worry.
I'll put it. You know what? I was just asking you if you seen a garbage that I could put this in for you. So it fell back in there. But it just said it's just the mindset that, like, people have surrounding cleanliness. I'll give you another one. We were organizing neighborhood cleanups.
Yeah.
This was around the corridor, which we'll get into if we really want to talk about what people should be upset about. Should they be upset about data centers or what's going on right now in the city? Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that as well. Sure. But we're doing a neighborhood cleanup and literally cleaning up in front of somebody's house. I won't say what street. And we're picking things up at... The brother is eating a bag of chips and says, man, that's some real S y'all doing, man. I appreciate what y'all doing. And then drops the bag of chips on the ground.
That's enough to make you crash out.
So I'm like.
I'm like, bro.
And the response was like, man, I figured y'all was already clean. I'm like, you could have said, bring the bag. You could have said, bring the bag. So that's why I say the mentality and we just. Don't have enough self-pride and self-worth for what we have. Yeah. So we feel like we have to treat the little that we have like trash. The little respect that we have to just be all crazy with it and not have any moral compass or whatever to...
Giving trailer trash.
You know what I mean? So...
And then you got people that feel like, yeah, I'm a king, I'm a boss, you're a bum. If you are littering, like, you can't be around me and litter because I'm going to look at you like roaches is crawling out your ear because I hate to see where you live. We're going to kick it to the chat. We got Politically Homeless in there. What's up? What's up? He said, littering is some broke eye. He said, don't poop where you eat. That's rule number one. Dogs don't even poop where they eat. You understand me? My dog will poop somewhere and go somewhere else to get a snack. You know what I'm saying? Y'all trifling. Up in the fire, but not a trash bag. It's crazy work. That's
crazy work.
Anita said, light on Michael McGee Sr., one of the original Milwaukee Black Talk Radio hosts. Yep.
She said, the butt naked truth.
For sure. Biko said, respectable traffic. There was a time where we were a respectable country.
Really?
Yes.
It was. But just to, you know, to continue on the trash, and might I add, Walmart was surrounded by...
Yeah.
Trash.
I bet it was.
Like, so
I bet it was.
I you're gonna have to make me a believer that having affordable housing is going to be the reason that those streets are, you know, that
man. There has to be rules in place because I feel like I pointed out, like the homeowners were cleaning
rules.
They need to be enforced because the homeowners are the ones out there cleaning up and like keeping the lawn cut. The ones that are renting these places out and just like renting them to whoever and not going like teaching these people about how to keep this space clean or like even enforcing something like, yo, if I drive past and your lawn ain't cut and there's trash all over you, you're going to get a fine.
Yeah.
Like if it's not enforced, people are just going to live. However, like you can't live like that. And some people genuinely don't know. So it's on these people that are renting to these people to enforce it.
So should the city fine landlords for not keeping cleanly
If I'm
properties?
Not mistaken, they do. Well, they're supposed to. Like if you're not shoveling, if you're not cleaning and people call in, the landlords are supposed to, right?
For sure, I feel like shoveling or cutting the grass, the city definitely calls and give you a ticket too.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken,
I'm gonna find that phone
but
number. And
somebody
just,
cut the grass and had tons of
just trash
Milwaukee
cut up and,
hey, in front of
they have the trash cut up. They won't even pick the trash up before they mow the lawn.
Yeah. But don't go anywhere. You are live on your lunch break on the Truth 101.7 FM with Ray, Nitty, and Shannon.
What's up? We are back at 101.7 The Truth with Ray, Nitty, and maybe Shannon at the lunch break. Let's get back into this chat. We got Von Mays in the chat. What up, Von?
What it do, Von? Mm-hmm.
It's definitely lazy and ignorant. E-Dot said, I legit cannot stand people who litter. There are trash cans and bins everywhere. It's me, S.E. said, I keep a small bag in my car for trash. No excuse for littering. Vaughn said, some folks don't care about themselves, so naturally they treat everyone and everything like they don't care. Absolutely. And Politically Homeless said, real world example of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It sounds like we got somebody on the phone line and they want to talk about the data center. Can we get them on the line, Ray?
Let's do it. Kay, how you doing, Kay? Talk to us.
Hey. Good. Yeah, that data center stuff is a joke. They know they knew exactly what they was doing while, you know, in the midst of all this. They just brought it to the table for that neighborhood late. Now, my aunties and them went to the meeting last night. It wasn't probably, maybe, I'm going to be nice about the number, 75 people. Mm-hmm. How is it that in that whole area, only 75 folks came out to find out what was really going on? So the alderman didn't take the time to let his own constituents know what was going on in that area, only to find out that he knew he just wasn't saying anything. And one of the gentlemen that was there bust him out and called him out because he lied to him about the center. And he made it very clear that he lied to him on last night. So if he would lie to somebody behind closed doors, imagine what else he's not telling everybody in that neighborhood. So he went around there and promoted himself to become the alderman, but he couldn't come around and tell everybody about that data center. Yeah, this is why. This is why I tell people all the time, if we are not at the table, we on the menu. And Midtown, that area, is definitely getting ready to be on the menu. And as far as affordable housing.
Can I ask you a quick question, Kate? I know you said your family was there. I was there as well. Do they feel like they were able to hear anything about said center? Because I know I was there and I felt like because so many people that was there just, you know, voicing their how much they disagree with the data center, I didn't, or whatever it is called. I'm hearing it's not a data center. I'm hearing it is. But, you know, people were like, elderly residents was pulled me to the side. I was like, this is foolishness. I couldn't even hear anything that this was about because people were just yelling and screaming and standing on their soapboxes. Do you feel like does your family say they felt like they were able to get a fair informational session about what information was supposed to be shared at that event?
They said absolutely not. They felt like they were just telling them, by the way, it's coming.
Yeah. So
that's what they said they felt like. They were just basically telling them it's coming, and so they're, you know, it's everything is not, you know, it ain't out there, but, you know, because they need some kind of zonings and this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about even trying to purchase loans. So they got something up their sleeve, but how about take it and put it somewhere else? Nobody cares about a library over there in that area. Nobody cares about affordable housing. Look what it's looking like over there right now. And then they said it was only going to bring 15 jobs. Get out of here.
Yeah, I think that's why it's important when we do have those spaces that, you know, the folks that are there, and I respect everybody that comes to voice how much they disagree, but I do think there has to be a level of decorum where we allow the information to be delivered to the residents, because I don't think that was fairly happened, whether it was nonsense information or helpful information. I don't think I was able to receive enough information. So I'd be looking forward to the next one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do like is when people do say, hey, we don't like this. I love to hear what other options do people, like, what ideas does the community have that they would like to bring to the space instead of, you know what I mean? Because I know people say, oh, we don't want this, we don't want that. And I have my feelings about how I felt about, you know, some of those folks that was there as well, because I respectfully, I would love to see some of that same energy and that same fight and that same loud, boisterous, everybody disrupting things when the community within the Corridor Project was going through the TCE epidemic. And, you know, we have so many chemicals in our grounds right now that's impacting families and lives and poisoning families. And people have to deal with cognitive dissonance, disabilities, and all of these different things. But we find the time and energy to go and be disappointed and disagree with the data center. But where's that time and energy for the toxins that are in our streets and chemicals that are in our soils right now? Nobody's talking about testing these houses. Nobody's talking about TCE, the petroleum. We let Master Lock walk away. Master Lock shot that. We talking about 15 jobs. Master Lock closed over 10,000 jobs in that facility on 32nd and Center while three black men were being assassinated for TCE as if they used the chemicals. And the DNR's website, you could go on the DNR's website today and see the information where it says Master Lock had this contamination, that they were notified about it, and they allowed them to close it up and just walk away. So I want to see some of this same energy. Yes, let's push back on the things that we don't want to come into our community that'll be harmful to our community. But where's that energy for the things that are in our communities right now? And we allow the institutions and these corporations to just come in, close 10,000 jobs, and now we got a bigger facility that's larger than the Walmart imprint that's going to be, what, vacant for another 30 years? So tell me where all of that smoke is for that. That's what I like to hear. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Ray, Nitty, and Shannon on The Truth. Oh, okay, so we ain't going to go anywhere ourselves. But Shannon, I'm sorry. I had to share that because I saw all of these people having such strong opinions. And I remember Lena Taylor shouting to the top of her lungs about the lead. You know what I mean? I remember us talking to the DNR about, okay, what is the greater concern for the outside community? And being told, oh, the gases don't move like that. Oh, so it knows to stay on our side of the street and not go across the...
Wow.
So all I'm saying is there is a lot of things right now, that the agitators wanted. I could show it to y'all, and we will talk about it more. We got the letters from the DNR to Master Lock and so forth that will show y'all been knew about it. 1986, before I was even in this city, Master Lock had a historical spill of TCE. But when it comes down to our community, it's an emergency order. We got to evacuate. We got to move displaced families in the middle of a snowstorm and move them across the city on the south side. But when it happened in Bayshore, they was able to stay in their spaces and just gave them families fans and said, oh, don't worry, this is just a fan we're giving you for the Canadian wildfires and the smoke that has reached our community. But I'm going to say some of it. I done got thirsty. you know, so I'm going to say some of it. And I'd love to get into the story of the corridor and educate people on what's really going on out. Yeah, let's fight. Let's fight and educate our city and our people about the harmfulness of data centers and what they could do to our community. But also let's get educated on what they really are as well and give people the proper opportunity to receive that information. So I'm gonna pause to sip this ginger tea for a second. I'm sorry.
We're gonna kick it to the chat. We got a few people in the chat. DVJ73, that's low sense of responsibility, learned behavior, and lack of responsibility. Maybe some, nobody cares anyways. I'm thinking that's regarding the trash in the streets. And then we have Jasmine West 935. Usually when they mention something is going to be started on developed, it usually means it's going to happen anyway. And it's me, S.E. said, I agree, Jasmine. We got Jasmine. Hey, it's me. Yep, something happened with the trolley. They were going to have a public do a poll on it, but they already had the rails installed.
Right.
I guess it's the fake making you think you got a voice.
Yeah.
That works. Von Mays, he said, that's the thing about these groups of protesters coming in from outside. Actually, get the info. Then after we all know what their response is, we can respond and mobilize with that information. And I completely agree with that. Let's hear them out first so we not Absolutely. Just yelling in the streets. Like, we need to know exactly what we up against. We need to know exactly what we upset about. We have Jasmine said, yeah, I remember when Lena Taylor doing that study years ago. She was on the news segment showing the test tubes of lead water. Von Mays, facts, Ray. And where have they been while we've been complaining about slumlords, which includes these industrial commercial property owners from outside our city coming in and buying up stuff? And that's exactly what I was talking about when it comes to the trash and trash tenants.
Absolutely.
Somebody got to hold these people accountable, because the ones that own these places and they have to live there, they actually mm-hmm. take pride in it. They're cleaning up and they're learning about how to keep their lawn clean and how to make it prettier. But you got people buying these properties, mm-hmm. letting these... I'm not trying to say nothing wrong with low-income families and Section 8 families, but they, move on in, and then they disappear, yep. and they show up when they moving out, and they be, what happened to my property? Right. Well, let me move another five family into a one-bedroom.
Because it's just about the bag.
With 10 dogs. Right, and then I'll be back in 10 years when they move out.
And that's it. Don't connect them to no real resources. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
give me that state check. I'll take it.
As long as the check come in, I ain't got to come check on you. Because literally, the landlord next door to us, like I said, 30 years. And I've seen them pay probably like every single time they got to move these people out, move another family in. But listen, we're going to talk more about this on the next episode. Maybe. Give or take. Maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be an extended version. Maybe check it. We might give y'all an evening snack.
Man,
but. Take us home, Shannon. Take us home, Shannon.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. Thank you to the chat. Y'all were definitely live today on YouTube. And if you guys want to join the chat, that's 101.7 The Truth. If you guys ever want to call us, 833-212-1017. You can text or you can call. You are listening to The Lunch Break with Ray Nitty and maybe Shannon. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow.
Don't go anywhere. Manon is up next on The Grapevine.
Don't go anywhere.